Just turn to the person next to you. Tell them, what is your favorite piece of music or album or artist? Whatever jumps to your mind, think musically, I'd love that. Whatever it is, just tell the person next to you. Okay, the reason I'm getting you thinking about music, we're spending a few weeks looking at some of the Psalms over the summer. What are Psalms? They are songs for every setting, every emotion, every situation we may find ourselves in. There's 150 of them in the Bible. And for many people, the Psalms are their favorite bit of the Bible. Anybody put their hand up and say they like the Psalms the best? A few people. You don't have to be like timid about it. It's allowed. Okay, it's just, you know, it's a preference. I've got to say, personally, I find the Psalms a bit of a challenge. I find them difficult. That's probably because they're really raw and real, and I'm comfortable being sort of cerebral and restrained, but that's my problem, basically. Today, we're going to kick it all off looking at Psalm 117. We're not doing them in order, obviously. This is the shortest of all of the Psalms. This is the shortest one. I honestly did not choose it because I find the Psalms tricky and it's the shortest one. I think it's got a message that we all need for this summer. We're doing all sorts, I'm sure we've all got all sorts of things on over the summer, haven't we? Maybe we're going away, maybe, you know, kids are off school doing different stuff, you know, college is finished, all of those sort of things. We've got different stuff going on. But this psalm is punchy and short and memorable, and it's really helpful. So here it is on the screen. Thank you, Chris. This is the entire psalm, okay? What's on that screen? And literally a few sentences. I want to ask you, I'm going to keep getting you to do this. Please stand up with me. Need some exercise. Remember, these words were originally written for corporate singing. I'm not going to make you do that. But we are going to say them together. We're going to do this a few times. We're going to say them together. So, okay, so just read this along with me, okay? Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Well done. Sit down. We were nearly in time. And I want to tell you simply three great things from this tiny psalm, and then for us to stand, we're going to stand and say it after each one of these things. So the first thing in this psalm, God is for every people. God is for every people. The Psalms were written in a very Jewish context. So around 3,000 years ago, the nation of Israel has recently been established. David is the king. He's also a singer-songwriter, which is quite a good dual career, isn't it? To be the king and a singer-songwriter is pretty cool. And he wrote many of the Psalms. And when he wrote them and sang them, he was often saying to his people, to the nation, come on! Let's worship. God's amazing. Let's praise him and tell him our struggles and invite him to transform us and our lives and our situations. That's what he was doing. Fantastic songs. And many of his songs up to this psalm, so like 116 other songs at least, many of these songs made lots of reference to the nation of Israel, which was understandable. That's where he lived. That was his people. That was his own people. But this psalm says, praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples. He's opened out the worship invitation beyond little Israel, which is about the size of Wales. Think about that. It's not very big. He's opened the invitation out to the whole world. There's an open-heartedness here that might seem straightforward to us. And we think, oh, that's lovely, isn't it? What a lovely sentiment. That's so lovely that, you know, God is for all the nations, all the world. But when this was written, Israel was in constant battles with its neighbours, a bit like right now, sadly. And it would have been a shock for anybody in David's country to hear this song. They'd think, you know, what? You're inviting other nations, other people to worship our God? Why would you do that? They're the enemy. He's ours. He's our God. He's on our team. Why would you invite other nations into this? Here's the thing. It's impossible to genuinely worship God for any length of time and not grow in a love that is inclusive of other people. It's impossible to genuinely worship God for any length of time and not grow in a love that is inclusive of other people. Because that's what the God we worship is all about. When we worship God, the main reason that we do it is because he deserves it, because he's incredible and amazing and vast. But there's lots of great side benefits to worshiping God. It aligns our hearts, our wills, our desires to His. And when that happens, like we're seeing in this psalm, and our perspective on the world changes because we're worshiping this God, racism diminishes. Aggressive nationalism diminishes. Ethnic cliqueiness diminishes, because the heart of God is for all people everywhere. Right from the start of the Bible, right from the start of the story, God was doing something with the people of Israel. But the point was, it was never meant to just be about them. And throughout the story, throughout the Old Testament, there's little hints, seeds of ideas, that one day God would do something which ushered people from all over the world into His own people. Centuries after this psalm was written, it became part of what is known as the Egyptian Hallel Psalms, a group of psalms. Hallel simply means praise God. And the Egyptian Hallel Psalms were Psalms 113 to 118, just that little group. And what happened is that they would be sung in connection with the annual Passover meal, really important Jewish festival, the most important time of the year, that everybody would sing these psalms. And they'd reflect on how God had rescued His people from Egypt, you know, way, way, many centuries before. So this was a huge deal to celebrate and sing about. And the reason that that's important now is that it means that we know for sure that Jesus would have sung Psalm 117, this psalm, with His disciples the night before He was killed. We know that He would have done that because it was the Passover festival and meal. As He approached death, Jesus would have had the nations of the world, all the peoples, on His mind and on His lips. He was the climax, the end, the main point of the whole story, of course. The way that God's grace extended beyond Israel, the way God gathered people from all places and peoples and tribes, was achieved in Jesus' death and resurrection. The most incredible thing. And then there's that little hint in this psalm that reminds us of it. So let's stand together again. Please join me. And let's say it again, but this time holding up the people of the world in our minds and our lips as we do, and maybe even thinking about some of the bad stuff that's happening in the world right now. Let's say this together. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol Him, all you peoples. For great is His love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Have a seat. Second thing, God is for every person. Second part of that little song says, for great is His love toward us. That's Christianity 101. God loves us. The natural first reason to praise God and to encourage other people, other nations to do so, is that He loves us. The Hebrew word translated as love here is chesed. And it's a more complicated thing than our English word love. It's more than a vague feeling. It's unswerving loyalty, and it's love acted out, and it's unreasonable kindness and tenderness all mixed into one. The word that's translated as great right next to it is gabar, which means strong. It's not just great like in size, something that's really big. This is about being powerful, like a lion maybe. And that's important because God's love is not just some sort of drippy, sugary, sentimental thing that has no substance. It's powerful. It overcomes things. It beats things. The love of God, if it's of any value to us, which it is, it has to be powerful. And it really is. The power of darkness, the person of the devil, the pain of death, the love of God walks all over those things like an unstoppable but positive force. And that love is directed where? To us, to His people. All of us need to be reminded all of the time that God loves us. David put it into song so that people would sing it and they'd remember it. The most transformative, affirming, wonderful thing that we need to know is that God loves us, not just in theory, but in reality. We live in a culture that tells us that we need to perform our way through life, through having the right values, or virtue signaling, or being woke, or making enough money, or being talented at something, and so on and so on and so on. And the messages that we hear all of the time tell us that we have value as far as we demonstrate our worth. But God knows us inside out and back to front and doesn't care at all what we've achieved. He just loves us full stop. And we need to be told that again and again and again, even if we already know. We need to say it and hear it and read it and sing it and own it and enjoy it and apply it again and again and again. So let's stand again and say the words of this psalm once more. Please join me and get a good workout while you do. Let's say it together. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Have a seat again. Third thing, God is forever. The psalmist writes, the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. This is one of those phrases that is so Christian, so common in a churchy context. You can easily just go, yeah, and sort of skim past. But one of the mega themes of the Bible, of the story, is the faithfulness of God. And faithfulness, let's be honest, sounds like quite a boring word until you think about where we experience it. A good parent is faithful. A good spouse is faithful. If you've got even one faithful person in your life, it's incredible. Don't take it for granted. Someone who'll be committed to you through your ups and downs and your mistakes and your annoying habits, and they won't leave, and they're stuck to you, they're stuck with you. It's life-changing. Children with faithful parents who are committed to them grow up secure and settled, and in general, they do better in life in every single measurable. Faithfulness is what the world runs on, the commitment of people to other people for the long haul. And this is saying God is faithful like that to us. So sometimes as Christians, we sort of slip into thinking it's about our own faithfulness, that we need to keep demonstrating our commitment to God so that we get something back from him. Even those of us that know all the Bible verses, we've been around church a while maybe, in some part of our brains, we still believe, well, if we let God down, if we do the wrong thing, if we're unfaithful, his love or his commitment to us, well, it's just going to downgrade a little bit. Anybody have trouble that goes through their mind? Everybody does. If you don't have your hand up, then you just don't realize it. Everybody does this. And it's not surprising because that's how the world works. Try behaving badly for a bit and see how many people are faithful to you. Actually, don't try it. You know what I mean. This psalm is a declaration to be celebrated, to be sung, that God is faithful despite what we're like. If you look into different worldviews, different religions, there's always a give and take. You do this, God will do that. You do this thing, God will reward you with this other thing. But the true God makes a covenant with us, like a contractual agreement with his people, where he says, I'm committing to you, and I'm covering over your lack of commitment to me as part of that commitment. I'm in it with you for the long haul, whatever you get up to, whatever you do, and it'll be that way for eternity to come. If you're one of his people, that's the if you're one of his people, and anybody can be, remember, we just saw this is for all nations, this is never-endingly true. The faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Jesus sang these words knowingly the night before he went to the cross for you, fully aware that the greatest demonstration of the faithfulness of God was about to be enacted through himself. He sang those words. With that in mind, let's stand up and say them again. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Sit down again. At the end of the psalm, it just says that little phrase, praise the Lord. Again, it begins with that phrase. It tells us why, closes with it. This was a song originally, so of course it was meant to be sung, not least because people remember words that they sing more than the words that they say or read. If you think of your favourite song, you probably remember most or all of the words, unless it's instrumental. Because in song form, it's easier to remember words, isn't it? And that's why it was put to song. But this is a song, but it's also a rallying call. It's a directive instruction. The truths in it are supposed to move us. How could anybody who grasped what these few words are saying and believed them possibly respond with ambivalence? But you know, I think at the moment, for a lot of Christians here and now, our big unspoken issue is apathy. We kind of agree with Christian things, but maybe there's no passion, there's no oomph, there's a sort of cold standoffishness. Life distracts us with other things. I think that particularly that often happens in the summer. We've got other things on, good things, fun things. But underneath that, maybe on some level, perhaps we believe that God is less interesting than the other treats that we have in life. Anybody able to admit to feeling that way? God will use all sorts of things to wake us up to reality, including our own suffering. But one thing he does is reveal the truth to us over and over again through words until the penny drops for the millionth time or even for the first time, to reveal to us in clear words who he is. And that's what this psalm is for. So here's a little practical thing before we say this thing again. This week, why not have a go at trying to just memorize Psalm 117? We don't talk about memorizing stuff a lot at Maybridge. Maybe we feel it's like it's a little bit of a drag. Maybe it's old-fashioned. But something this good is worth remembering and letting it sit in your mind over these summer weeks while there's other stuff going on. Why not give it a go? Anyway, last time, let's stand together and say the words before I hand on. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Amen.